Well, good morning, Good Shepherd friends and family. On a beautiful May 23rd, or is it? Yeah, it is 23rd. A little bit hoarse. I had a wedding that I had the privilege of leading yesterday evening, and a lot of talking in the reception afterwards, and just a real blessed time. And this morning, I join you once again for a garden talk, and I'm literally closer to the garden than I normally am, as we have a full household here in the Martin home and don't want to wake anybody up, as I'm here about 7 o'clock watching the sunrise on Reed Drive here in Washington. But I'm here to share with you some morning reflections as per normal. And my first reflection is to be thankful. Be thankful for the beauty of God's creation, to be thankful for the privilege of getting into His Word and to share with you some remembrances. And that really is the theme of the morning, is to remember. And I don't know if you've processed or pondered this, but Jesus and as a representation of the Father, as the fullness of the Father, you know, calls us to remember. And maybe we more specifically think of that at the table. I'm actually at an outdoor table, and the call is to remember the body, remember the blood, remember what He has done for us. And I receive that as a command. It's a command to remember the things of old. And this morning, I'm going to pair this message on remembrance with a graduation celebration. So out at Church of the Good Shepherd here in a few hours, we've got 4 graduates coming. 3 young men and a lovely young lady who are transitioning in their journey and have much to celebrate. And I'm going to talk to them about what they remember. And, you know, I'm going to kind of begin, and I'll begin with you guys this morning. First, by digging into the Psalms and a Psalm 25, which has an element of remembrance to it. But we're going to look at Psalm 25, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 11. So, Lord God, as we hear the birds chirp, Lord, just calm my spirit, bring peace to our ears and to our hearts in the midst of whatever is a distraction to your word this morning. And may we lift up our souls, lift up our trust to you, God of the universe, and Lord, who became incarnate in Jesus Christ, that we might know an example of what it is to live and an example of what it is to sacrifice. And we remember you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm 25 begins this way. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. But they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord, praise the psalmist. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior. And my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are God, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore He instructs sinners in His ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of His covenant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. May God bless to us the reading, understanding of His Word, which, as Paul reminds Timothy, is useful for our counsel, for our comfort, and also for rebuking and instruction and leading us to confession. And I think it's beautiful in this passage, and as I speak on remembrance this morning, that on the one hand, the psalmist, and I think, you know, he echoes our hearts here, says, remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they're from of old, but remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. The psalmist says, hey, remember your love, God. Don't so much remember what I have done, which might disqualify me from your love. And I believe a lot of times we still operate in this world as if maybe He's forgotten. Maybe He's forgotten what I did. Maybe He's forgotten some of my sins of the past. And Scripture does remind us, and this is a great point of celebration, that He casts our sin as far as the east is from the west and remembers it no more. So God chooses for the sake of the sacrifice to distance Himself from our disastrous deeds, and we praise God for that. But many times we remember, and we're going to talk about various aspects of this reality of remembrance this morning. So I'm going to lean back into high school, and I know most of you, probably none of you listening to me today, are in high school or graduating from high school. I don't think you'd listen to an audio file of a 60-year-old or a nearly 60-year-old pastor. But I'm going to focus on these four, on Miller and on H and on Caden and on Libby this morning. And in doing so, reflect on the fact and the reality that this old pastor remembers 41, 40 plus years ago, some of those high school realities. And, you know, I remember the gum in my hair at the ninth grade dance and how somebody had to go to a teacher's office and cut it out. I remember being called out for talking too much in history class and how abrupt that was and jarring that was. I remember in 10th grade, I pondered transferring out of my high school to another because I just didn't feel like I was in the circles socially or athletically or otherwise that were meaningful. And then turning a corner later that year and largely having a positive high school experience after that. I remember the death of my grandfather, the fall of my junior year, as I was preparing for the cross-country state meet. I remember, you know, family issues and issues with my sisters who are precious and dear friends to this day. But I remember some hard seasons there in high school, even though I remember also that I was the distracted, self-absorbed teenager who at many times didn't act as though I cared enough. I remember that. I remember the death of several classmates tragically my senior year and beyond due to auto accidents and just sheer the unthinkable did happen. But I also remember the positive things, and this is where we sift and we sort. We remember what is hard. We remember what is grand and glorious. I remember my first mission trip to West Virginia in the summer after my sophomore year of high school and all the aspects of that. I remember, you know, making the hoops team my senior year of high school and playing a little high school basketball. That was a great thing. I remember living within bike riding distance and driving distance of both sets of grandparents, getting to know them well. I remember getting those college acceptance letters, which were quite the thrill. So there were highs and lows, and we choose in many ways what to remember. We're going to go back to God's Word as He speaks to us on remembrance and what it is that He would have us remember. And should we not pay great attention here? So we look at chapter 8 of Deuteronomy in just the first three verses. Moses is speaking to the people of Israel about not forgetting the Lord. That's the heading to this chapter. And he writes, "Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised an oath to your forefathers." Verse 2, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." So there's this call to remember how the Lord led us, and he led us through wilderness places. You remember, we are to remember him leading us through the hard places to test us. Verse 3, "He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Does that sound familiar? Absolutely. It's what Jesus quoted to Satan as he was being tested in the desert, and he had the memory of the word that was planted in him. So two realities about memory. We remember what we have experienced. We remember what we have learned. And maybe we forget both, which is why there is this beckoning call to the concept of manna, to a daily bread feasting, to a daily intake and input of that which reminds us of the truth, the hope, the life, the way outside of ourselves. We also remember the hard seasons. We remember, in this case, we remember the wilderness. But I'm going to read another passage shortly from Lamentations, which talks about remembering the wandering. Jesus deals with his disciples on short-term memory and on calling them to remember the big picture as contrasted with remembering the little petty things which they may feel are most significant. There was an encounter as they're crossing the lake and in the context of Jesus' 3 years of ministry with his disciples. And this is recorded in Matthew chapter 16. Again, in this concept of what to remember and what is forgotten. And Jesus was with the disciples, and they went to cross the lake in verse 5 of Matthew 16. And the disciples forgot, here's the memory issue again, to take bread. And Jesus says to them, be careful, Jesus said. Be on your guard against the yeast of Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, yeast, again, is in reference to bread, and yeast in this case was in reference to teaching which is counter to what he was coming to fulfill. Well, they discussed this, they being the disciples, among themselves, and said, it is because we didn't bring any bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, you have little faith, why are you talking for yourselves about having no bread? Okay, the disciples were kind of majoring in the minors at this point. Do you still not understand? He's frustrated, but he's patient. And that is his reality with us. When we are mired in the muck of the day-to-day, not remembering the big picture, Jesus comes and reminds us of that which is most worthy of remembrance and trust. He says to the disciples, you have little faith. Why are you talking amongst yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember? Remember, here it is. The 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered, meaning he had 12 baskets left over. Remember that. Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered. How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread, but be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against teaching, false teaching of Pharisees and Sadducees. So in this passage, again, they're called to get out of the mire of little things and get into the big picture and understand the absolute truths he was teaching. So as I am speaking to these graduates this morning, and I'm bringing this to the Garden Talk, and I'm bringing this to the broader audience of those who choose to listen, because we all need reminders. For these high school students, I'm going to call them to remember. I'm going to call them to remember with reminders, with refreshers, with a remnant of something that calls to mind past memories, in order to help equip them to deal with the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Well, what do I mean? Are they going to get any yeast in college or yeast in other places? Well, we're all encountering, not just in college, and college gets singled out, and obviously today, because I'm talking about high school graduates who are all progressing to four-year universities, which is not always the case, but wherever we go, we are warned, most of the letters of the New Testament speak about this, about false teaching, about distortions of God's truth. And in a college environment, faith is absolutely tested. It's tested experientially. It's tested emotionally. It's tested relationally. The question is raised, did God really say? The question is raised, why can't we do it this way? The question is raised, does God exist at all? And in order to be equipped for the journey, and that's what we're about at Good Shepherd, and that's what we're about in the body of Christ, to know Jesus and share the journey, there has to be a call and a practice of remembrances. Remembrances of experiences realized, remembrances of that which is taught. Reminders of that which was taught. And Jesus was calling his disciples in the midst of their thinking just about how they were going to get fed that day to say, remember the big miracles. Remember the feeding of the 5,000. Remember the feeding of the 4,000. And when you encounter the false teaching, fall back. Fall back on reminders of the big picture, the Heavenly Father, the goodness of Father, Son, and Spirit. So today also happens to be Pentecost, and Pentecost is the arrival of the Holy Spirit on the church that's recorded in Acts, the book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. And in Pentecost, the Spirit comes to these fearful disciples gathered in an upper room, comes in wind and comes in fire, and equips these ordinary believers to do extraordinary things for the kingdom of God. And the entire book of Acts is just part of that amazing journey of what I like to call Holy Spirit hotspots. So I encourage you to go back and to dive back into that. But Pentecost, as it relates to remembrances and these students, has to do with the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And part of that is an advocate and a counselor interpreting prayers, as Romans 8 tells us, that when we groan and don't know what to pray for, forgotten what to pray for, the Holy Spirit helps us with that. The Holy Spirit also gives different gifts to different individuals. And so this morning, for these four students, I'm gonna call to mind some common themes and some unique and distinctive themes. first thing I'm going to give them is a coin. And this surfaced at Easter just a month or so ago. And it's a simple coin that I found in a bookstore in Montreat, one of our favorite places of memories, which has a little mustard seed centered in the midst of a ring of pewter or of alloy metal, which just says all things are possible. And the mustard seed, of course, represents just the tiny beginnings of faith, which is growing. And in these students, their faith isn't just a tiny seed, but it's growing, but it needs to continue to grow. But they need to be reminded with Christ in faith as a son and daughter of the living God. All things are possible. Even getting through the rigors of a freshman year, even getting through the pressures of dealing with a new roommate, dealing with the pressures of of academic load, and not having mom and dad there to counsel and cajole and encourage you to get your work done, dealing with social dilemmas and choices to be made, roommates, friends, community. It's overwhelming. And as much as we sometimes at my age look and try to relive the glory days of whether it be high school or college, it is a hugely challenging time. And I encourage each of you to pray for students in transition as they return to what might be called normal, but normal is still quite the burden. But the Holy Spirit gives different gifts, and these graduates, I'm going to remind them that the Spirit gives encouragement. All things are possible. I'm going to give them a refresher. So the reminder is the coin. All things are possible. The refresher is a little book, and it's been out for a couple of decades, and it's simply entitled Dinner with a Perfect Stranger, and it's written by David Gregory, and it's a fictional account of Jesus himself inviting a skeptic to dinner. And the chapters follow the courses of a meal. And, you know, it sounds a little predictable, and it sounds a little, perhaps cliche. And yet, it's a really profound and not too lengthy a read. I'm flipping through a copy right now, and there's a study guide to it. And it's just over 100 pages. It's written by David Gregory. The subheading is An Invitation Worth Considering. And I'm going to present it to these graduates as a refresher. As a refresher on the person of Christ, as a refresher on how he would encounter some of the tougher questions relating to miracles and creation and salvation and exclusivity and consistency and contradiction in Scripture. It's a wonderful refresher. So in the context of the memory journey and the call to remember and the command to remember, we got a reminder. We've got a refresher, this Dinner with a Perfect Stranger. And in the case of these grads, and hopefully they don't listen before the service this morning, because I'm going to tip you off on what I'm giving them, but there are specific things. So two of the graduates are big-time fishermen, big-time, which I really don't understand, except when somebody brings me along and tells me what to do. And they played some high school basketball, but I'm going to lean into the fishing part. And according to the tales that their parents tell, they've had fishing adventures and misadventures. They've had adventures where the father says, hey, be sure to take an extra tire for the boat trailer. Take an extra tire. I'm going to remember. Well, they forgot the extra tire. Of course, there was a flat on the boat trailer, and there was a somewhat of a crisis that occurred for lack of preparation. But what I'm going to give them are these vintage lures. These vintage lures, and of course, lures are meant to attract fish. These lures each have a triple hook on each end, so they can be rather deadly. And with these two lads, part of the reminder from this remnant is just the joys of childhood, of course, and the memories of fishing on the Pamlico River and offshore and other places besides. But also, with these two, there was an incident, at least one, where in the context of casting the lure out, not this specific lure, but another lure, you know, there was bodily harm done, and there was an embedded hook, and there was a scar to be shown from it. And sometimes in our remembering, and I brought up, as I began this morning, the remembrances of some hard moments in high school. We look back, and we look back at the scars. And in the context of perspective, we'd like to forget that pain. But in that pain comes refining, and in that testing comes growth. And in that one failure comes a foundation of learning how to do things better and differently. So my hope is that with the reminder of this fishing lure, they can remember lots of things. They can remember that Jesus came to recruit fishermen into his band of disciples, that he told Peter and others that you're going to become fishers of men. And while they're on a campus, unable to get to their boat or get to their reel or get to their bait, that they have this call of the Lord to remember him and to recruit others into that journey, but to do so in a candid way where Sometimes the scars are the best testimony to who Jesus is. When I remember high school, one of my most profound mountaintop memories was in Montreat beside Lake Susan with two friends, one of whom was sharing her testimony of faith in Christ. And I remember listening to her share with a friend, a dear friend who I saw 3 months ago, who remains a friend, who was of another faith, and she was sharing why her hope was in Jesus. And I remember vividly, like it was yesterday, that scene. And I remember that I didn't have the capacity at that time to share my faith in such a manner. So I found myself somewhat awestruck, a tad envious, and also I became convicted that this would be a direction I needed to have. I needed to have a better memory. I needed to have a better sense of the hope, the commands that the Lord had given me. And, you know, as I quote scripture, as I'm speaking at a wedding or speaking to you this morning, it's not because I have hunkered down and said, I'm going to memorize 14 verses today. That's a great discipline. But it's because this word has given life to me, and it becomes part of the language, and it becomes part of the reservoir of hope pondered in our hearts to deal with the haunting memories, but to deal with the rough and rugged realities. So these physical reminders, you know, the cross in a church, the basin and the towel and the pitcher that remind us of Jesus' foot washing, the cup and the plate that remind us of the Last Supper, the communion, all these visible reminders the Lord gives us because He knows we teach based on what we see and based on literal and word pictures. And so for these fishermen, the lures hopefully will have a significant remembrance there. One of the boys who's going to be celebrated this morning is a golfer. And I'm a golfer, and several years ago, at a yard sale of actually one of the elders of the church, he had a weathered vintage golf bag with some hickory-shafted clubs, and I'm going to present this young man with one of those clubs. And just as a reminder of sort of the passion and the pain of the game, and for any golfer who's played much, there are scars of, you know, poorly handled holes or disastrous meltdowns as a great score was about to be posted, or of how temper got the best of them. And, you know, golf is not a game to be mastered. There's lots been written and spoken of on that regard. And this old vintage club is one that kind of has the loft for golfers. The loft is the shape of the face and the trajectory the ball comes off. And it's kind of between a 5 and a 3 iron. It looks like it could be used to putt. It could be used to chip. It could be used for longer shots. It's a multifaceted tool for lots of occasions, both in the fairway and in the rough, perhaps even in a good lie in a bunker. And it's just a reminder of a tool for a passion. And God gives us quivers full of arrows, and He gives us tools in His Word and in His way in order to stay in the straight and narrow, and to also extract ourselves from the hazards of life. And so for this young man, there'll be a reminder along those lines. For the young lady in the group, she has a passion for life and for friendship and for painting. And so I found at a little downtown gallery a small piece of art, just as a sort of a lovely impressionistic gal with flowers, who hopefully will remind Libby that she is a child of the living God and a daughter of the King. And the rendering, again, more impressionistic, doesn't have a specific face assigned to it. So it's just a reminder of beauty, and it's a reminder of the passion that this young woman has to create art and to take what she's experienced and put it into whatever medium she applies it. And this won't be just for her, but it's going to be for the young lads as well, just to be reminded to seek beauty and to seek to express beauty and to find your passion. And whether the passion's, you know, hunting and fishing or golfing or artistic things, God has anointed and appointed us to follow Him in those moments in order to find the purpose for which He intended us, which seems so elusive sometimes. But part of charting the future is remembering the past. As we draw closer to a conclusion of this message this morning, I want to go back into one other passage of particular note and import, which absolutely deals with this concept of remembrance. And it begins with the hard memories, kind of like I began with hard memories of losing friends in high school and you know, family health issues back in the 70s. And Lamentations chapter 3 begins this way. Or not, it doesn't begin. He jumps in verse 19 and says this: I remember, here's that word again, I remember my affliction. I remember my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. You know, there's a danger in taking just two verses of scripture and just stopping. If that's all we've got, I remember my affliction, my wandering, my bitterness, my gall, and not just I remember them, I well remember them, and my soul is downcast. Sometimes we linger there, but God doesn't want us to linger there. He comes alongside. There was a beautiful episode of the Chosen series just in the last several weeks where Jesus comes to the man who was beside this pool for 38 years, who is absolutely acquainted with bitterness. He can't wander physically, but he wanders emotionally, and his soul is downcast, for he well remembers his infirmities. And Jesus' simple question to him is, do you want to get well? Do you want to be healed? Which seems nonsensical. But he invites you and I to the very same reality, and he's going to invite these students into that. Do you want to get better? Do you want to build community? Do you want to grow with the opportunities academically, socially, spiritually, and maturation that I'm presenting you? So verse 21 of Lamentations 3 begins a turn in the journey. It says, yet's kind of a pivot word. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. There's an action. There's a calling to mind. And what is the writer of Lamentations, who is attributed to be Jeremiah, say? He says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, because his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, writes Lamentations author, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Now, this is clearly a quote of Scripture. The Lord is my portion. I will wait for him. I will remember. And he knows who the Lord is. The Lord is not some obscure higher power. It's not some obscure great spirit. It is Yahweh. It is the God who led the people of Israel out of the wilderness and provided them with manna and parted the Red Sea and broke the bondage of their Egyptian enslavement, and who promises Messiah. The Lord is good, verse 25 says this, to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man, for a woman, for a child of the living God to bear the yoke while he is young. While he is young. So these youngsters, isn't that a fun word? Good old Roy Williams word. My youngsters. So these youngsters have gone through some living already, and they've got scars from high school. They've got scars from fishing. They've got scars from, you know, bad golf rounds. They've got scars from, you know, relational pursuing passions, and perhaps a piece of art that didn't pan out. But what we are called to give them and to receive for ourselves are reminders that all things are possible in Christ, to be refreshed with our apologetics, our defense of the faith, our capacity to articulate against the yeast of the Pharisees that which is absolutely true, and to look at the vintage trophies of our life and call to mind the hope of a Lord who delivered us in those hard seasons. And each of those things that I'm giving to the students this morning, there's a bit of pain, there's a bit of passion, and there is a call to pursue, to continue to pursue God, a call to actually pursue righteousness. I was at this wedding yesterday, and this passage came to mind right in the late stages of preparation, and it had to do with the groom's pursuit of his bride, and in this case it was a 9-year journey. And the pursuit in Scripture that Paul gave to Timothy was to pursue righteousness, to pursue right relatedness. Part of what we are called to remember is that God pursued us first, but he says follow. He didn't just say sit. He says, follow, pursue me and find abundance. Surrender to me, be obedient to me and find blessing. The Lamentations 3 passage kind of sums it up. And I'm going to give you my last alliterative moment of the day. We've talked about reminders and refreshers and remnants. I'm talking to you as we close out about wandering and works and way. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And if that sounds familiar, it's because it comes straight out of the classic hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And in that hymn, the hymn writer says, hey, I'm prone to wander. Lord, bind with your goodness, bind me with a fetter. And a fetter is a shackle. Bind me to your goodness. Bind me to your way as I wander. Let me consider, the psalmist said this early on, the writer of Deuteronomy, who was Moses, said, remember how the Lord led you out of the desert. Remember the manna. Remember that he tests you in your obedience. He tests you to bless you. And these kids are going to be tested in college, and whether you're 59 like me, or you're 49, or you're 89, the tests will continue to be reminded of God's goodness. We come to the table weekly to examine and to remember and to, in our wandering, consider God's mighty works in the grand and sovereign scheme of creation, and very specifically to consider His works in our individual journeys. There are things that I would love to delete from my hard drive of life memories, but God doesn't allow it, and that's not to rub my nose in the mess or to pour salt in my wounds, but to remind me of how, yeah, like the writer of Lamentations, I remember the wandering, the bitterness and the gall, and I remember the downcastness there. But he says, yet call this to mind and have hope. And the calling of this is the person of Christ, is the promises of God that have been realized. And in that wandering, we consider His works and we walk in the way. We walk in the way. We don't get in the way, but we walk in the way. And the way was actually a reference to way, truth, and life, Jesus' teaching in John 14:6, and also to the people of the way were the early church. They weren't called necessarily the ecclesia, the church, the people called out, comes a little bit later, Christians in Antioch. But people of the way was the early nomenclature for the church. They're people of the way. And way denotes movement, and way denotes a group that have gathered. And we're called in, friends, from wandering. And you may be wandering today, and all you may be remembering is the negative. And so I would invite you into the journey of the writer of Lamentations and call other things to mind, and to rise anew and afresh with the Lord in the morning, for His mercies are new every morning. And great is our faithfulness? No, great is His faithfulness. And His faithfulness is that which enables our faith. His faithfulness, Jesus' faithfulness on the cross, Jesus' faithfulness to become incarnate and come into our mucky, messy world from His throne room on the right hand of the Father. So He has come into our world to beckon us out of the wanderings and into the way and to remember His works. Father God, we pray that these graduates will find encouragement in Your word, encouragement from community, and equipping to face the challenges, the distractions, the yeast that they will encounter. And Lord, may we who are further along in our earthly journey continue to call upon Your name, continue to remember not just our wanderings, but specifically how You have come crashing in to our crisis with Your grace and with Your mercy and with Your love. Lord, I pray for my listeners out there. I pray for my family. I pray for the family of God. I pray for Your world, this nation. And I give You thanks for the sacrifice that won our freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.